Hey, Jacob here. This story has some violence and language that is not recommended for young listeners. Now's your chance to turn it off. Otherwise, here we go.
Do you want to start here and then we can walk up to the red door?
Yeah.
And I actually haven't... Yeah, we can walk up there.
You haven't what?
I haven't been back there since, except to pop in to say hey one time, but yeah.
It's a beautiful sunny day in June, less than half a year after Matt Lovell almost died. He said he would show me the spot in East Nashville where it happened. It's near a trendy bar district called Five Points. Matt's been back to this spot a few times since that night, but not to walk through what happened with another person.
Okay, well, I guess I just want to check in with you, right now, where are you at? Before we start walking.
Where am I at right now? I think we should just walk.
Matt pulls a small bottle of lavender essential oil out of his pocket and offers me some. I dab a little on my wrist and neck, taking his lead. He says it's good for anxiety. He's wearing a blue baseball cap and sporting a short, scraggly beard. I can tell he's thrown a little, but I can also tell he's trying not to be. He's trying to be okay. And sometimes he is, laughing and talking about his friends, but other times he won't look me in the eye, or he changes the subject by saying, I'm not ready to talk about that yet, or that's personal. But the day is really pleasant. We walk in a neighborhood called Lachlan Springs, but after about one block, suddenly Matt stops, and he starts talking like we're on a live broadcast.
Hello, Internet. It's nice to see you. It's about 80 degrees here in Nashville, and we are standing right where I got shot.
Oh. Wait, it's right here?
Right here at Five Points. I am actually shaking a little, but I was parked.
Matt was sitting in a car by the side of the road on a cold evening, below freezing. It was January 20th, Inauguration Day. A teenager tapped on the glass with a pistol. Some words were exchanged, the man cocked his gun, and then shot Matt right in the chest. Matt screamed, took off running down the street to the steps of a local bar. He came very close to dying. There were hours of surgery, and then somehow he came out on the other side. But that shot, such a violent moment, set off a course of events that were simultaneously damaging and healing. Terrible and wonderful. I'm Jacob Lewis, and from Nashville Public Radio, you're listening to Neighbors, a show about what connects us. Today's story, Matt Got Shot, Part 1.
I love how lush it is in Tennessee this time of year. You know, they say we live in this valley, this bowl. So that's why we have such a diversity of trees and plants, because all of the seeds just blow their way kind of into the bowl. So this time of year, it's just all these crazy different kinds of foliage come out. And so this neighborhood in particular is very... very lush to me, and it's been a great place for me to heal.
After the harrowing walk at ground zero of the shooting, Matt drives me to his house. He rents a place tucked away deep in a quiet neighborhood in East Nashville. Every house seems to have a small concrete stoop. He shares the place with his roommate, Joe Lynn.
And you drive up, and we have a little, this is my little garden.
Wow.
Ooh, I think we just ran over something. I haven't been driving much since the shooting, I don't know why. But I don't prefer it.
I didn't know it at the time, but the car we were in was the car Matt was shot in. We get out and he shows me his garden, something that he started doing more of after he was shot. There are plants clustered on the ground in pots. On the edge of a serene patio, there's some ornamental grasses. There's bushes, flowers, elephant ears. Matt takes a second to water them all. He says it's healing for him.
My mama is a big gardener, and so is my mom. So my mom's whole family was like gospel singers and gardeners. So I think I'm just like a product of that, you know.
As Matt goes about watering, I notice an old window leaned up against the house. It has a saying painted on it. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Only some of the glass is missing. Matt finishes watering, and we go inside to get a drink.
Well, it's interesting because it says, start where you are, hat you have.
I know, the windows, the wind blew it over the other day, and we're drinking out of jars. The wind blew in the other day and blew it over.
It's kind of symbolic.
I try not to think into everything. Do you want just water?
Yeah, cool.
Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Let's start with where Matt was before the shooting.
Well, I grew up in the South in the church as a gay person. And like a lot of people, I had a lot of complicated feelings. I left the church about 10 years ago. And I think even after a decade, I still carried around a lot of residue and kind of flaky paint surrounding.
Flaky paint?
Yeah, I call it flaky paint. Like shame and or doubt or worry. Like, am I okay? Just as I am.
Matt had come out a while ago. But as a young man, there was a series of hurtful events and abruptly ending relationships that really affected him. He asked me not to mention the specifics, but they left a mark. They brought along voices that played like old tapes in his head. They told him he wasn't acceptable just as he was. And no matter how far down the road he got into embracing himself, it seems he just couldn't shake the deep-rooted question of am I, me, who I am I okay? And it seems people close to him could tell. A few years before the shooting, Matt's brother gave him a card on his birthday.
I remember on my 30th birthday,
It's okay.
It's almost like he knew, because he wrote this card to me. And he said, I know some things are ahead for you, and they're good, and they're hard, but you've got what it takes. And then he signed the card, be at peace with yourself.
That last bit, be at peace with yourself, it's from a song. Matt played me a little bit of it from his phone.
You just want to play it?
Yeah, I'll just play a little bit of it, and then I can like mix it up, you know.
It's by a guy named Bill Fay. And the lyrics say, at the end of the day, ain't nobody else gonna walk in your shoes quite the way you do. So be at peace with yourself and keep a spring in your heel and keep climbing that hill.
At the end of the day, ain't nobody else.
3 years go by, and it was January 20th, 2016.
We will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
And that is Inauguration Day, if you're trying to forget.
Matt was writing a song with his friend Lee Nash. She's the lead singer for the band Sixpence None the Richer. Y'all know the song, Kiss Me.
We actually had been in a songwriting session, cut things off kind of halfway through the song because we were both just feeling a little heavy that day. I'm not going to get political, but you catch my drift.
They went to a thrift store called the Hip Zipper. They grabbed some lunch and then ended up at a bar called the Red Door Saloon. After some time there, Matt left down the patio ramp after sunset, about 7:30 p.m., and walked to his car.
And I was texting my aunt and heard a tap on my window, and of course, that was the gunman, and you can kind of figure out what happened from there.
A security camera from across the street caught the whole thing. Now, warning, this is very hard to hear. I'm going to take some time to set the scene up, so if you don't want to hear the actual shooting, skip ahead now. This audio I'm about to play is from a camera put on somebody's porch because they owned an Airbnb. In the footage, you see the porch with an American flag hanging vertically in the left of the frame. It's put out for Inauguration Day. On the right is a porch light that kind of washes out that whole side. And across the street, you see Matt sitting in his black Kia Soul. A man walks from the left of the frame down the street and stops at Matt's car. It looks like maybe there's some words exchanged. You hear the man cock the pistol. Then the door opens, and it's hard to tell, but it looks like Matt stands up, and then there's a shot. Matt runs behind the car and stops for a second. think that's a good time to take a break. After, we'll hear just how Matt survived. Hey, Jacob here. So right before the break, Matt was shot in the chest.
So I was holding my chest, which is where the bullet had gone in, but somehow I had my full lung strength and a ton of adrenaline coursing through my body.
He gets up and starts running for the bar he had just left.
I knew that it was up to me at that moment. I just had to get to help. And that adrenaline or angels or whatever you want to call it, whatever forces were at play, got me to Red Door.
What happened next was a surreal scene on the front steps of a bar. A series of coincidences aligned to save Matt's life.
Like I said, I had just got done. That day I got done with a clinical at a Laverne Fire Department, working with their EMS crew.
This is Patrick Brown. At the time, he worked at the Red Door, the bar that Matt ran back to.
I was just a door guy. Like, I was the ID checker, you know, checked IDs, helped pick up cups, you know, ask people to leave. And it was just a night job that I could work while I went to school.
Patrick was taking classes to be an EMT. He wanted to be a first responder, ride in an ambulance or be a firefighter. And listen to this next part carefully. He took his final class to be certified that morning. That was the first coincidence.
And I remember getting ready for work that night, and like I had my EMT bag in my car.
This was the second. Patrick always left this at home. He'd just forgotten about it. When he realized that it was in his car, he even thought about going back home. But he'd already left for work and was a ways down the road, which is the third coincidence.
They even showed up to work an hour early. So, like, usually I wouldn't even be there. So it's, like, real serendipitous that, you know, that I was even there. Because I went into work an hour early. I brought my bag with me.
Wow.
So I'm there, and you know, 10, 20 minutes in me being there, you know, some people run over to get me, and they're like, this guy's been shot. And so I go over to, you know, where he's at, and he's laying on the ground, and we can see where there's a hole in his shirt when he's bleeding. Mm. I sprinted to my car and got my bag, and then ran right back to his side and hooked him up to a portable heart monitor.
Patrick's very fresh training went into effect. This was trial by fire for him, his very first time responding. As he went through his initial assessment of Matt, he noticed his stomach was raised and hard. This probably meant liver damage.
So his was, like I said, I could tell it was filling up with blood.
Someone called 911, and they kept Matt calm as they could until the ambulance arrived. Patrick said the EMTs accepted his report, no questions asked. He had helped save Matt's life and watched as he was crash-carted into the back of the emergency vehicle.
And from there, I was just kind of carried all the way to the emergency room and beyond.
While in the ambulance, Matt kept asking if he was going to make it. No one gave him a straight answer, just, we're going to try our best. Matt didn't have a cell phone, and he kept shouting out his mother's phone number.
And that was one of the scariest things, is potentially leaving this life without your mother. That's all I'll say.
And at some point in the journey, he started going in and out of consciousness.
Every time I would do that, they would say, hey, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? And try to bring me back, because I probably wasn't going to sleep. There's a good chance I wouldn't make it if I drifted off. And so I would just reply, Matt, my name's Matt. And this happened 6 or 8 times. And I finally started saying, my name is Matt Lovell. And then I started saying, my name is Matt Lovell, and I'm going to live. My name is Matt Lovell, I'm going to live. Like, I just kept chanting it, you know, every 15 or 20 seconds. And they started kind of cheering me on. My name is Matt Lovell, and I'm going to live. My mother's name is Dee Lovell. Her number is 615...
Just days before the shooting, Matt's mom knew he was having a hard week and wanted to give him something to cheer him up.
2 days before the shooting, she had gone to Marshall's, and she gave me, and the price tag was on it, was $7.99, and she gave me one of those cheesy Pinteresty kind of plaques that said, don't put off your happy life. And I remember looking at it thinking, it's so cheesy. But now I keep it on my my bedside table, and it's totally not my taste, and I'm very particular. But I keep it there because it was almost like a tombstone for Sad Matt. Don't put off your happy life.
Lying in the ambulance, surrounded by people doing everything they can to try and save his life, Matt said he had a moment. He needed some kind of peace, some kind of understanding of if he was okay or not. So he said he came to this moment where he just kind of prayed.
I said, God, you know I love you. I think I might have fucked a few things up in my life, and I'm not sure if I have or not. But I said, you know, my heart is good. And I said, if I see you tonight, I hope that all is well between us. And that's when I felt an immediate, it was like, almost like fire. Just like came over me, and then it was peace, a sense of peace with myself and with whatever is out there, no matter what the outcome, whether I had lived or died that evening.
Matt was rushed into the ER for what he says was a surgery that took 8 hours. They removed the bullet, they massaged his liver forever to get it to stop bleeding, and then he woke up.
It felt like kind of waking up on your friend's couch, and you're like, where am I? For a second, and then I was like, oh my God, I lived. And then I heard the beeps of the machinery. I immediately began sort of almost forcefully requesting that they bring my family in, because I just wanted to see them. But I'm glad they didn't bring them in quickly, because I had a moment where that I remembered that peace that I felt. And it felt like 1,000 acres of my heart had been cleared of like anything negative. It was like a vacuum had been opened. Like, I think all the flaky paint, all the shame, when I woke up, that space was so free. I remember I could feel it in my body. Like, I could breathe more freely. And this is after, like, I had been cut open.
And then his family came in.
And that was the most euphoric moment of my life. It was amazing. We cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And my first words were, I thought I was never going to see you again. You know, actually cracked a couple jokes, you know, just to let them know that I really was okay, and it was amazing.
Three months later, Matt would be sitting in a bathtub, reflecting on what had happened. Sitting there in the water, he wrote a song. No guitar, just singing out into the bathroom. He played it for me in his living room.
I am only sunlight, and I'm looking for a similar light to shine with me. And all the struggles that I've had are only branches making shadows of my golden beams. I am only sunlight.
So, if you're thinking to yourself, this just sounds too good to be true, you're right. Matt got shot. It's a big deal, with a big effect, and you can't just put a bow on Matt's newfound sense of who he is. While it did change him, the positive feelings didn't last forever.
I think so much time had gone by, like it was 5 or 6 months, and I was so happy and better than ever, healthier than ever in every way. I honestly thought that I was going to get a free pass on the trauma part.
Next time, the recovery process is a mixed bag, full of joy, hope, and a whole lot of problems. Next on Matt Got Shot, part 2. Neighbors is from Nashville Public Radio and produced by me, Jacob Lewis. To see a video of Matt's song Sunlight, as well as more links to his music, visit neighborspodcast.com. If you like the show, I have a couple of requests. The first, talk about it. To anyone, your friends, both online and in real life, and I stress the latter one. Also, go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating or review. Maybe you are listening right now on Apple Podcasts. It's just a simple click away. Leave a review. Also, if you want a postcard handwritten by me, follow me on Instagram at neighborsjacob. That's Jacob with a K. And DM me your address and I will personally write you a postcard. I might even send you a few extra so you can write other people. The show is edited by Emily Siner, Mac Linebaugh, and Anita Bug, with special help from Tony Gonzalez and production assistance from Caleb Shiver. Music in this episode by Poddington Bear, Matt Lovell, obviously. And this song is by my old backyard neighbor, Jason Goforth. Neighbors is a member of the podcast collective The Herd. Producers involved include Vanessa Lowe, Jonathan Hirsch, Marlo Mack, Rob McGinley-Meyer, Sarah Brooke Curtis, and the astounding Erica Heilman. You can find out more at theherdradio.com. That's H-E-A-R-D. As always, I am Jacob Lewis, and I am reminding you to get to know your neighbors.